Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Prusa Live. We are here for show 22. With me again, Nicholas Sousa and Joseph Prusa. And we have a great guest today. We have Evan Weinstein from Cocoa Press. So we're going to be talking chocolate printing this week. A little bit different than our normal plastic printings, but kind of the same too. So lots of cool things there. How are you guys doing this week?
I'm good.
Having a good time?
How are you, Joe?
I could use a vacation.
We could all use a vacation at this point,
agreed.
Right?
Like, agreed.
Yeah, it's been way too long since I've been on vacation.
Yeah, I can travel like to the shop across the street or something. Wow.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Fortunately, the weather is getting better here in Czech.
Yeah.
So it will be at least more positive vibes.
Yeah. I ran out and got lunch yesterday, and it was 61 degrees here, which I don't know what that is for you guys, but it's wonderful. It was It was sunny and warm and just great, and it's so nice.
Yeah, yeah. So all right, let's get
all
to
right.
It.
Yeah, let's kick it off here. What do you have for your print this week, Mickey?
Someone's coming into the office. Hey, we are streaming right now. That's okay.
The Czech team hasn't switched daylight savings time yet, and so it's a little bit earlier for them. So people in the office like don't expect that Mickey's going to be streaming right now, but we tried to keep the timing here. So, but made sure Joe knew this time. No traffic violations.
Yeah, last time it was great fun. I sprinted from the office to my flat in like 15 minutes.
It was great.
I have this.
Can you guess what it is?
A battery holder.
Close-ish. Okay, so a hint. I will hint some more.
Oh. Is it? Medium format camera.
Yeah, it's a box for medium format camera film. So it's
film. Okay. Oh, cool.
So 120 film. I have, this is a Kodak and a very nice Fuji film, and they like to be in, you know, dark and in dry place, and this is just a very nice box that has just a good click when you close it, and a cheeky color change from Oh My Gold to Gentleman's Grey PLA Prusament.
Nice, super useful, and helps protect your film.
Yes,
which is
my
is
precious,
great.
Precious film. What do you have, Matt?
Can you still get these films new, or is it like new old?
Yeah,
you can buy them in like quite a few places, and like in Prague there are many places that will develop the film for you. So it's a lot of fun.
And I guess it's like the vinyls.
So.
It is getting like steady fandom, so a lot of people use it. I think
medium format is still really popular on the professional level.
Even
too,
on the professional, definitely.
Yeah, because like if you want to shoot something that you're going to blow up to the size of like a billboard, like you need a huge resolution.
Because
you can
scan the film to a ridiculous resolution.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I've met an owner of one of the biggest vinyl manufacturing factories. It's actually here in Czechia, and they said that they are just booming, and they don't know what to do, how to keep up with demand.
I have a kind of subscription thing for like NoFX is putting out like a vinyl, or was putting out like a 7-inch vinyl album every month for like a year. And they actually sent one every 2 months, but all of the records that I'm getting are made in Czechia.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They are building a plant in US, I think, too.
Yeah.
They have to create the machines from scratch.
Right.
Machines, because you can't get them, or you can get like old ones and refurbish them, but most of those were like sold off to scrap metal.
Yeah. Exactly.
I just want to. I forgot to give the shout out to the designer, which would be a shame.
Yeah.
So, just quickly, it's by Andreas Mass, this awesome model, and you can find it on Prusa Printers. I will paste the link in the chat.
Great. What do you have, Joe?
So I have this wonderful vase. I don't see myself now. Wonderful vase from Wilco. It is the vase 21. And it is in tandem to our latest blog post from Mikolas, who I would say, how did you say that? Like you are nerd into plants.
Yeah, it was like meaningful uses of 3D printing in gardening.
Yeah, but yeah. You were using something like Green Thumb or something.
Oh yeah, Yeah.
Green Thumb. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to print something, and I was testing a new unreleased material.
Ooh.
But that it is still some time off. I was also teasing it on the Twitter, uh-huh. And I like it very much.
Make the sound again. Bang it again. Okay.
It's like ceramics, but it's not.
Very cool. And that also goes very well with our new contest, which we will discuss later in the show also.
Yes.
So, yes. And on a very similar point, I have the Asgard Vault pot from our good friend Bugman 140, Nick Dimelo.
Oh.
I shrunk it down and cut it a little bit so it would perfectly fit this succulent pot inside of it. And it is a really great design, super cool looking. I very much thank Chris Russell for his help with this. Printed in Oh My Gold and on the mini. Came out awesome.
I wouldn't recognize it from the, like, it's this one just cut and resized, right?
Yeah, I cut the top off a little bit so it wouldn't stick up too much on the plant, and then shrunk it down to about 50% size so it would fit the pot perfectly. And instead of having just an ugly plastic, like solid black pot on the outside, it makes for a far better decorative pot. Nice. Yes. Yeah.
And you needed help for that advanced modification.
We will discuss my help later.
Okay. And then just to go back, Joe's vase was by Wilco, and as you expected, it's on Prusa Printers as well.
Yes. Okay, so we've got all kinds of news going on, lots of interesting things. Very importantly, we have a new release candidate firmware for the Mark III platform. So Mark III, Mark IIIs, Mark IIIs Plus, with lots of new and interesting features in there that I think you guys will be excited about. So right off the bat, we have a new print from SD menu. I haven't actually seen that. I haven't loaded it up yet. Mickey, how have things changed?
Basically, it's much more responsive. It's so much quicker. The sorting is like, if you're sorting by time uploaded to the SD card, which I would guess 99% of the people do, it's like 2 to 4 times faster. So very nice. And because our devs worked very hard to save some space in the memory, they now have 400 bytes, like not kilobytes, not megabytes, but bytes in RAM. So they can remember all the indexes. So that makes it really just more responsive to scroll through and select things. And also, if you're using one of the FlashAir SD cards, one of the smart Wi-Fi enabled SD cards, there is now a button to resort. So if you upload something on the card, you can just press it and it will pull the latest file to the top, which is
That is nice. Are those FlashAir cards still on sale? I remember a couple of weeks ago I saw a topic that people were looking for them. I'm not sure.
I think they're getting hard to get. I've got 3 of them and love them. They're great.
Yeah. Also, time remaining function was improved. So now if you add a color change, it will be switching in, I think, 5-second intervals. Yes, it is 5-second intervals between the entire remaining print time and time till the next color change, which is great. So you just know that, you know, in 30 minutes, you will have to switch the color and the print will finish in, I don't know, 5 hours. So that's very nice.
Yeah, very, very convenient. It's always nice to get good estimations on how much time you have left on things. And so it's something that's been really greatly improving kind of across the board, because time estimations historically were awful. Joe, we have lost your video.
Oh.
You see him, Mickey?
No, he's gone. Well, yeah. No. Oh, maybe let's...
Joe, were you there at all? Can you hear us?
So let's hope that Joe will reconnect.
Yeah, let's just hope Joe comes back.
Yeah. Okay, we have like so much more in the firmware. So some smaller things, for example, we added PVB to the preheat menu because we released Prusham and PVB. We added support for 0.8 millimeter nozzles because we now have them in Prusha Slicer. We have profiles for them. We have them on our eShop.
So I actually got that question via Twitter last night of what is the largest diameter nozzle that we support currently without having to switch heat blocks or anything else. And so I think 0.8 is there right now.
I mean,
if you want to play around with your slicing settings yourself, you know, there are larger options.
I mean, you can go larger. The thing is the maximum volumetric, you know, speed, the maximum amount of plastic that the hot end can melt is limited. So if you go larger, you can print, but you won't go much faster because, you know, you can't push more plastic through it that fast. So if you want to go for the aesthetic of a huge nozzle, you can, but, you know, you won't see any speed up, you know, going from 0.8 to 1, I suspect, because you will be limited by the heater. Joe is back? You're back.
Yes.
Did you miss me?
Yes, very much.
We did.
We went through some of the smaller things, so it's fine.
Yeah, there was a great amount of panic, Joe. We were very worried that
you were just bored, so you left, right?
No. My Wi-Fi just disappeared. Okay. I mean, I'm remodeling the flat, so some things are wonky. So.
Okay. Yeah.
And a lot of like big pack of changes was made in preparations for Prusha Connect. So maybe you've already heard about it, but yeah, basically, I think a lot of work went into being able to control the printer from both a print host and the LCD on the printer. So you can pause the printer physically on the printer and you can resume it from, I don't know, Octoprint or Prusha Connect and vice versa, which is very nice. So, you know, it doesn't just tell you printer being remotely controlled or something. It's still responsive. And yeah, that's great.
So we're always kind of getting questions of, you know, when is Prusa Connect coming? You know, are there any updates on Prusa Connect to everything else? And, you know, this is an update for that. Is we are working our way into that phase. And one of the things that we're doing is improving the firmware on the machines themselves. That way, everything will work better as we move forward. Yeah. So, it may not be the exciting Prusa Connect is here news that you're hoping for. This is a step forward. So,
And hopefully things will pick up more speed now, because it is not very efficient to work from home for a year. So we are now starting to roll out two times per week PCR testing, so more of us can be in the office and function more normally, hopefully.
Yeah. One of the things that was like kind of heavily requested was, Mini has the thumbnails. But if you put it in the G-code for Mark III, what will happen is Mark III will start reading through the huge block of data. And when it like does that for 4 seconds, the watchdog is like, oh, is the SD card stuck? Is something stuck? And it will reset the printer for, you know, safety reasons. So now the firmware can skip thumbnails and you can put 100 megabyte thumbnail in the G-code if you so desire.
Oh, Mikolas, why you say such things?
But the firmware will be fine. It will just keep skipping through it. It will refresh the watchdog every once in a while. I know, don't do it. It's stupid. But
have you tried 100 megabyte?
What?
Image?
Why would I do that? It's so huge. That's
exactly what everyone in the chat will be trying.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you use some print host, which you know has maybe a plugin or something that extracts the thumbnail from the G-code. I know some people already use it for the Mini, so the web interface shows the thumbnail. You can now turn it on Mark III as well, and the printer will be just fine with it.
Yes.
There were a bajillion many more changes. If you go into our GitHub, I will just quickly share my screen. The release candidate is out, so if you want to feel like trying out kind of fresh firmware, you can do that. There's the whole changelog in here describing all the things. For example, community translations. So we now have Netherlands or Dutch. Dutch translation created by 3D Gassner and Vintage PC. So if you want to contribute your own translation of your native language, just send an email to info@prusha3d.com. We will get back to you. So that's something that we have now support for. Many more changes like faster and quieter XYZ calibration. This is just a different acceleration setting for travel moves. It's a nice thing to have. And many more technical things. And I guess I will just end the recap right there. And we have sort of a question for you, and that is, what do you want to see in the Mark III firmware? We are sort of getting to the point where it has so many features. We keep adding the stuff that is being requested, and there is like a limited amount of free space in the memory left. So, you know, you don't have to write it in the chat right now. If you think about something, you can ping us on Twitter or something. But yeah,
I just saw Mad Monkey had one in there that I have to say I agree with too, which is it takes an extra click, but a confirm print button. So when you select a print and you hit yes, actually have it say, are you sure you want to print this? And hit yes again, because the number of times that the Mark III has accidentally like twisted the scroll wheel as I hit.
Okay.
Enter.
But I would say if you try this firmware, maybe this won't be such an issue because of the increased responsivity. So, but I mean, yeah, it's a good idea, but it might be solved by a different approach.
Right. That's what I was hoping when I heard that the increased response. I'm looking forward to trying that out. And so we'll see as we go forward. Okay.
Let us know what you want in there feature wise, and we will see if we can make it happen. But, you know, Mikolas, over the times, we've been stuck with, like, there's no more memory, no more RAM. Many times, I remember the times when we never thought that we could run LCD and SD card from these processors, but we still do.
I know, but, David was pretty serious when he said that they're running. I mean, actually, the thing is, we can always, you know, clear more memory, but he said they're running out of like simple ways to like it would be very difficult to clear more memory. So I guess that's it. But you can just I guess whip them and they will somehow manage it.
I hope he's not watching the class.
I bet you he is.
So we also have some beta firmware out there for the Mini also, right? 4.3.1. And this does not have a giant change log to go through. There's only an update to the USB driver on it.
But that's like a huge change from the inside.
But for some, it will be a huge change.
Yeah.
Because we worked with the ST to implement the new USB stack on the ST microprocessor. So it should be way more compatible with, you know, random USB flash drives you get from Ferris and stuff. So it will be huge for some, and that is also why we usually don't release betas, but for those who might struggle with some flash USB flash drives, they might use it right away.
For everyone else, there's no need to update to that firmware. This is the only difference, is the USB driver. Otherwise, it's the identical firmware to the one before. Yeah. Okay.
Fantastic. And
new color?
Yeah, the last update we have is just today we launched a new color in our Pet G line. So Prusament Pet G, we now have Jungle Green Pet G. There you go.
I will put myself.
That's a nice, like, very classic green. Like, I think crayon green, and that's the color I think of right there.
It's very, saturated. It's just green. It's screaming.
You know how we say crayon in Czech?
How?
Voskovka.
Voskovka?
Voskovka, yes.
Yeah, okay. Because they are like waxy, and wax like is vosk. So it's like waxy pencil, Voskovka.
I think technically they'd be wax pencils here, and like crayon is the brand name for it. So, but yeah, I think technically if there's any artists in the chats, correct us if we're wrong, but I think the US technically would be a wax pencil also, but.
And I believe that just a few minutes ago, it was released on the eShop, so it is available right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can start ordering before we start promoting it on our social media.
Yes, you are the first to see it. Yeah, and yeah, you can see the mark.
I think it might have hit Twitter just a little bit ago.
Okay.
But because I'm pretty sure I retweeted it already. That Prusament sent it out right before we got on the show, but it's close.
Okay.
Okay, so that's our news updates for now. We have just a little bit more later in the show as pertaining to contests. But let's wait on that. Let's go ahead and get our guest in here.
Chocolate. Let's do some chocolate.
I want to talk about chocolate.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So with us, we have Evan Weinstein. Evan is the founder and creator of Cocoa Press.
Hi.
For those of you who might have been able to attend the last in-person IRF, you might you might have run into Evan there and his wonderful chocolate creations. And yeah, there's the Cocoa Press behind you right there. So as I kind of mentioned previously, we're kind of normally used to printing in plastics, and Evan has created a printer that prints in chocolate. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the Cocoa Press and what inspired you there, Evan?
Yeah, so like Matt said, Cocoa Press, 3D printer that prints in chocolate. And I actually have been working on Cocoa Press kind of as a hobby project since 2014, and ended up starting a company a couple years ago and working on it full time now for 2 years this May, which is really crazy. There's some fun chocolate samples behind me. My favorite things to do are all of the different infill patterns.
Yes.
So this is a gyroid.
Nice.
and I don't know. I have so many here behind me. And what's really interesting about printing in chocolate versus plastic is that the different infill patterns each have like a different almost like mouthfeel, or you have like a different sensory experience while eating it. So yeah. I always joke the gyroid is my favorite because of how, fluids dissolve in gyroid. It's definitely tastes the best. So I've been really enjoying all of the infills and all the new stuff.
I need
stuff
to add this to the documentation, like, you know, what's different infills, the benefits, like, tastes the best. It has the best taste.
I mean, I would say with chocolate, you can talk about like temporary texture.
Yeah. So that's definitely one of the things that we've worked on the most, is ensuring the temper of the chocolate is right. You know, we're using real cocoa butter based stuff. And the way we're actually doing that is, I have all my props here behind me. So plastic printing, of course, you melt the filament as it's going through the extruder. But with us, we're melting the entire chocolate. Speaking of crayons, we're melting like the entire like crayon shape at once, and that is all the chocolate that you're going to use for the print. So you just put the chocolate inside of our cartridge, and then stick this right in the machine, and that makes it super easy to clean up at the end as well. But yeah, that's how we maintain the temper. So it goes through a preheat cycle slowly, where these are pre-tempered. The fit is so good, I can't get it out now.
It is it is very sensitive.
Now you have
temperature.
Now you have to print it.
Yeah, exactly. There it is. And this comes apart. Yeah. To, you know, the nozzle comes apart, okay. So you can clean it easily. What are we saying?
So you do this because I don't know, maybe it was on Maker Faire, maybe it was actually you or someone from your booth who I was talking to. Is chocolate like really sensitive, like to temperature change when it comes to flow and how it behaves?
Yeah, the viscosity changes a ton with temperature. So we can heat it about plus or minus a tenth of a degree Celsius, and that has helped us a ton since we got the precise heating up and running. It's tricky material. It's tricky stuff. Also,
it's your final output too, right? Like whether or not you have a nice, like shiny, like good looking piece of chocolate, or like a cloudy chocolate and things. And I know that you actually have someone on your team that is a materials engineer who is actually looking into the science of tempering chocolate. And I think you guys did some kind of write up or something that was actually explaining like how the crystallization and you know the fats leaking out and everything else of the chocolate is affected by the temperature profile. So
we have all of that on our blog for sure.
Yeah.
So basically when you do it right, it crystallizes, right? Because you sometimes see when you are tempering, you see like crystals from like previous batch, so it works better. So how does this work between the layers? Is it fine that it doesn't like go to the final state all in one go?
So what's really interesting about this is that we are pre-tempering it like traditionally before it goes in this crayon shape. And when we are melting it in the printer, we're not melting it to a full liquid. So we're not melting out all of the crystal, we're not melting the crystal structure that's already formed. And so it's in this like almost like a thick paste, as thick as we can while still being able to extrude it. And yeah, then we don't see any issues while printing it. It just re-solidifies. It still has those beta 5 crystals inside of the prints, and like Matt said, it ends up with the final nice snap and shiny finish that we want and that you know you look for.
Mikwas, I think do you already sell your printers? I think we might need one for the office.
Yeah, that would be awesome. We just started selling them for pre-orders during East Coast Rep Rep Festival in October. And we're starting to shift a little bit into selling chocolate just to continue to give us time to work on the reliability of the machine and all of that. But if I can show you what we're currently working on is basically printing white chocolate onto these milk chocolate or dark chocolate bases. And so we actually just started selling boxes of printed chocolates as well. So we tried one with your face, Joe. And, you know, just whatever people want to write, they can now write on chocolates and we'll ship it to them, you know, within the US. Yeah. So we've been kind of playing around with business models there. But
Just
US right now. I haven't tried shipping to the Czech Republic, but we can definitely print more of these and I can try shipping you a box of them.
And Evan went through his first international shipping debacle. trying to get a machine to Canada. We'll just leave it at Canada. His machine did not make it in one piece, which was very disappointing.
Yeah.
So there's still some kinks to be worked out in the shipping process before it heads the whole way to the Czech Republic. Some of the parts, I mean, in the video that we just showed, you saw that he's actually slicing for the machine in Prusa Slicer.
Yeah.
There's another connection to Prusa within this machine because, Evan, how are you actually making the machine?
Yeah, there are a whole bunch of parts in here printed on Prusas. I have a very mini farm in the room behind me here. So we have, I don't know, a couple dozen pieces maybe on the printer, all printed on Prusas. And that's been awesome.
Wow. That's great.
So it's not just our printers that are being printed on Prusa Print Farms. We're making cocoa presses too, which is fantastic.
I mean, maybe with the video shift in business model, you will have to build giant 600 printer print farm like we did. Or maybe
that would be awesome.
Maybe one day you will beat our 3D printing world record.
That would be so much fun. I'm hoping to make a chocolate printer print farm as well. You know, bringing the print farm back to actual food, which I think is pretty funny. That's kind of my hope is to make that and be able to just print out a ton of chocolates for people.
Oh, when you are showing the Benchy, I would never guess that you could make bridging.
I mean, I've seen worse Benchies made from plastic.
Yeah. I have this one here as well. We were staring at it, not sure ourselves the first time we printed it. But, you know, what's cool is that we have a fully enclosed printer. And instead of a heated build chamber, we're actually cooling the build chamber. So, you know, we're heating up the chocolate to a tenth of a degree plus or minus tenth of a degree Celsius, and then extruding it into a refrigerator effectively. And that's helped us with a lot of these tough bridging here. Yeah.
But the bench line is still there. Even with chocolate, it's still there. Can't get rid of it.
Yep. Yeah.
So what challenges have you seen in 3D printing chocolate that are different than 3D printing in plastic? Like, are you seeing anything that you really have to design around? Like, you know, as Joe mentioned there, he never would have thought that you'd be able to do bridging, but you were able to get some bridging and things like that. Are there any things that you're seeing that are like a major, you know, gotcha as far as designing and working with chocolate?
Bridging is definitely the hardest one. My secret is that this is white chocolate because it's a little bit easier to print with. I did do a milk chocolate benchy today, sitting behind here, and it worked all right. But yeah, so bridging is probably the biggest challenge with printing in chocolate as opposed to plastic. And then, you know, from a device standpoint, everything I've talked about heating and cooling is pretty hard as well. I think in general, it's a lot of the challenges have been explaining 3D printing and technical things to people with traditional chocolate backgrounds who don't have as much experience with technology. And that's definitely been a challenge in getting the printer out to people.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen a lot of people use our printers in this industry, but they usually do the easier way around, that they print like master and they refine it a little bit, and then they make vacuum forming molds from it, and then, you know, they make hundreds and hundreds in the traditional way. And, you know, it is also not a very bad way to make it, because they can use the quick reaction that they can make, you know, a couple of versions a day. But you could do basically, when you set it up correctly, you could make a custom chocolate for thousands of people.
Yeah. Each of these takes us, you know, a minute and a half or something to make. Because what we're doing is we're trying to get the best of both worlds. So we're using traditional chocolate making to make the bars themselves, and then just putting them in the printer and printing the custom stuff on top. Best of both worlds is what we're aiming for there.
Yeah, I can't help but think back to the last in-person Maker Faire Prague, and there was the group there that was printing on top of lattes or on top of cappuccinos.
Oh, cool.
So they were like customizing onto the foam, and, you know, how they had a big event of line at the event of people going and getting their names printed onto the foam, and how something like the cocoa press would work so well at an event of having people get, you know, their faces printed onto it, or their names, or, you know, some other kind of customized chocolate bar that they would then be able to take home and things. And I think it would be a great, you know, a great kind of live presentation device.
Yeah, I'm really hoping for events to come back this fall so that we can get back to doing stuff like that.
Yeah. And again, you know, one of the things that we talk about often in 3D printing is the geometries and the things that we're able to create in 3D printing that would be very difficult to manufacture in other formats. And I think going back to your like gyroid infill, like some of the textures and the abilities that would be able to be done with this are things that would be very hard to get otherwise. You know, I think about, I think it's the Aero Bar. I'm pretty sure it's like a British candy bar and it has bubbles inside of the chocolate and it gives you like a totally different kind of like mouthfeel. You know, obviously these infills are going to give you, you know, mouthfeels that no one's ever had before in eating chocolate, which I do think is definitely part of the experience, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And we've talked about it in the past too, of like the potential of sorry, Joe, taking those chambers and being able to like inject things mid process, like, you know, pause a print, inject fillings within the print and then finish off the rest of the print.
I wonder if he would be able to recognize if he would do like a 3D chessboard pattern from different kinds of chocolate, you know, dark and milk chocolate and stuff. If he would also feel
be really cool
as it would be melting.
Yeah. That would be really cool. Once you got the other person's piece, you could eat it.
So obviously, you can't have a drive gear. How does the extrusion work?
So we are using a, I don't have one handy here, but it's a plunger that pushes down from the top.
Uh-huh.
And and what's cool is that the plunger can be removed without any screws or anything. So you just pull it off at the end, wash it in the sink, and, you know, you're good to go.
Nice.
I also wanted to show you, I don't even think I've shown this to Matt yet. We were experimenting last December with trying to basically take our extrusion system
Ooh.
And put it on a Prusa here. And so we've actually successfully printed chocolate on a Prusa as well, which was a lot of fun to play with.
But we would need to basically make a Peltier bed, which would be taking heat out.
Yeah. Yeah, you could do that. That was a lot of fun as a project, just because, you know, the core of what we're working on is the extruder, and we realized that we could put it on other printers as well.
Yeah.
Richard in the chat is asking about retractions.
I was just about to say the same thing. Yeah.
If you lift, so, does it suck it a little bit, the chocolate back? If you
It does. It does. That's one of our big improvements since that last in-person event. We couldn't do retractions. We've moved from using air pressure back to using stepper motors. And now we can do retractions, and it works pretty well.
Awesome.
Yeah, with the Z-Hop is great.
Yeah, that same thing of just now when he put the bar of chocolate down into the sleeve and he couldn't get it back out because it was such an airtight fit. You know, you pull a vacuum on that and you get a little bit of retraction.
Yeah.
Super cool.
Yeah.
All right. So one last question for you, Evan, but before we head off, do we just need to go ahead and start a Prusa printers section that's like specifically for edibles that, you know, people can start designing all of their chocolate creations and have a library out there of chocolate creations?
That would be so fun to do a Prusa printers contest for edible 3D prints. See what people can come up with.
One of the things would be it must taste well and people could play with the texture.
But right. maybe we could I'm just thinking out loud, tell me to stop if it's too crazy, but maybe we could ask people in chat to do a few little things and you could pick a few and try to print them and post them online.
Yeah, I could do that.
So should we do the people can tag or Matt tell us how we should do it. So
I think the easiest way to do it is going to be to go back to Twitter. I mean, I know people are here in chat, but like so people can look at it afterwards. Go to Twitter and tag or send it to @CocoaPress And also hashtag it #PoundPruceAlive, and then we can see what you guys are suggesting for prints on the Cocoa Press, and maybe we'll see some cool prints out there.
And you should limit the size, I would say, so people don't.
Yes. Yeah, make it small.
Yeah. Please, nothing too large.
I mean, Evan can obviously pick and choose, you know, based on the suggestions that are going in there. But
Evan, what do you think is the sensible size and some design constraints so people actually have a shot of being successful?
Definitely no crazy overhangs. Nothing crazier than, say, a Benchy. And I don't know. That's a good question. I think in the Imperial system. So like 3 inches cubed is generally what we do. You know, I've definitely done some much larger things. This is like 5 or 6 inches tall. But I generally try to stay a little bit smaller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Approximately 75, 76 millimeters cubed there. So
yeah. Perfect. And I should mention, go follow us on our social media as well, because we're going to be doing a giveaway for a box of chocolate soon. Nice. So. In the coming weeks.
Go follow Cocoa Press.
Yeah. That's awesome, Evan. Thank you for being with us. We appreciate checking that out. And we can't wait until the next event that we can hang out and eat some chocolate with you. So
thanks for having me. I'll definitely give you all chocolate whenever we can get back in person.
Fantastic. Thank you. All right. Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Bye.
Oh man, it's such a cool project. In 2011, I modified a robotic arm to be able to print in cheese, and have been kind of obsessed with food printing ever since then.
I'm hungry now, so great.
Like American cheese or proper cheese?
It is definitely not proper cheese. I was using Easy Cheese, which comes in an aerosol can. So my extrusion method was actually I had a way to mount the nozzle, and then I could take a servo motor and kick over the can, and based on the angle that I was pushing the can would set the extrusion. The only problem I really ran into it is I built it for Maker Faire Detroit, and that year my hackerspace and I took out a giant yurt, a 20-foot in diameter yurt, and set it up in the parking lot, and it was like a heat wave that year. It was like 100 degrees outside, and it was well over 100 degrees inside the yurt, and it totally changed the viscosity of the cheese. And so at what I had calculated was like good flow to get things to print, it was just shooting out of the cans because it was like liquid. It was it was a total mess, but it was a very fun project.
Also, the pressure in the can would probably be higher.
Yeah, it was crazy, but it was a good time. I'll share pictures with you later if you're at all.
No, I think chat will demand that you will post on Twitter.
Yeah. So, okay. So, thinking about prints and cool prints going to Twitter, we have our Prusa Live contest. I have gotten a feedback from a couple of you that you're confused about how to actually enter the Prusa Live contest, because we've kind of gotten like so used to doing it. I don't think we necessarily discussed the rules. So first rule of Prusa Live contest is don't talk about Prusa Live contest. This contest is only for you guys. So we don't really talk about it on our blog or on Twitter or anywhere else very much.
Yeah.
Because we want to have a reward for you guys that watch the show every week. So to enter the contest, take a print that you've made and take a picture of it on your print bed still, and tag it #PoundPruceAlive and post it to Twitter. We will then go through those and pick the winners based on who has the kind of the coolest print. But we definitely take into consideration like lighting of your shot, like how cool does the entire presentation look. If you do have something that requires more assembly and parts, we don't mind seeing like all the parts on a print bed and then a finished print like still sitting on the printer or sitting beside the printer or something like that. But we do want to make sure that like you guys are actually printing it. So make sure to incorporate your printer in there. That's how to enter the Prusa Live contest. And the winner each week wins 2 spools of Prusament and the other two runner-ups each win a spool of Prusament. So come on, you guys are printing anyways, just, you know, send in some entries. It's the cool thing to do. So Mickey, who do we have this week for our winners? Who's our third place runner-up?
So with third place, we have a name that's not gonna be new for the stream.
No.
We have Bugman, Big Nick Jimelo with his Vault of Asgard, which I've seen this model like quite recently.
Yeah, yeah. The winning photos are actually down there on the side, and
right here.
That purple and blue, you know, light up again. It's a super cool print that came out super smooth.
No supports.
Yeah, no supports, and he shot it so well. And so it's funny because, you know, we decided that as a winner even after I had picked my Prusalive, Prusaprinter's pick of the week. So
very nice.
Great design, great model. I love also that, like, that is his model, right? You know, so often we're picking winners that are people that are printing, you know, other people's stuff, but that is Nick's, and he did a great job of printing it and shooting that. All right, who do we have for number two?
I love the second place. It's so, yeah, like, I would say unique or different. It's by 3D Burnicorn.
Yeah, I love this model. I want to know about exactly what it is. Because, like, there's, like, a maze below the tiki or something there. Like, I have no idea what's going on, but I love this model. It's super cool.
Here we can see it in progress. Also, like, a blue-ish Mark III. Cool.
Yeah. Oh,
I think this would be super nice if you would incorporate also some color change for the base, maybe to modify the design a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess you could split this part and print it in different colors so that these pieces, although maybe these pieces in different color would also be nice.
Yes.
So, oh, they are leaves and rocks. I thought it's only rocks, but
it could be stone leaves. It will work, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, there's definitely some potential there. 3D Barnicorn, if you are watching, we'd love to know what exactly this model is and where it came from, because it's pretty nifty.
Okay, and now going for the first place is Barry Webb and his model by also very well known Fab365, known for their...
No question where this model came from. Yeah. You know, you see these print in place, fold together models, and and you know, Barry just absolutely nailed the color scheme.
The colors are perfect. Yeah,
It's fantastic.
That is gorgeous.
Very, very smart design. You know, you don't need multi-material upgrade or anything. You just print free bets, and
I didn't even think about it. This is a no MMU. Winners this
true
week.
True
so
even though the model and doesn't look like it really
right and we didn't even like we didn't even pay attention to that it didn't even hit me until today now that that is such a great model. It was hard not to give that one the top spot.
I was
spot,
just thinking
so.
About how are the windows oriented, that they were printed so perfectly, but when I see it like they're flat. It's just the perfect orientation.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Super great job. Super cool. Thank you, everyone who submitted. And keep on getting those entries in, because we love to see the prints. I mean, that is a big reason why we do this contest, is we love to see what you guys are actually doing with our machines. Because, you know, sometimes that gets lost a little bit. And, you know, it's nice to know, you know, what you guys are out there actually like digging to print. So again, on contests, we have a new contest that just came out and fits very well with Mickey's newest article and Joe's print for this week and my print. So it is a gardening tools contest. Mm-hmm. So we want all of the different things that help you grow plants, be that pots or sprinklers or shovels or anything else that you can think of that is incorporated in your garden. let's see those things. And you have a chance to win a Mark IIIS printer, which is a great prize.
And the submissions are already rolling in, even though
there
are like still like 6 weeks left. So we have plenty of time. We wanted to, again, like don't stress you too much with the time constraints. So you can design it, you can print it, you can probably even plant some flowers in it and get the initial, you know, seed growing or something. So there's plenty of time.
Yeah. Yeah, contest runs until 2nd of May, as it said right there. So be sure to get your entries in. But yeah, plenty of time to do that. I love these little stakes that instead of actually saying the name of what's planted, it's actually like
little, I was just looking
like icons
at
what
wonderful.
They are. Yeah, they are really great.
I love the Zen Garden. I want to print this. Just have this next to my PC and just, you know.
I miss Japan.
Also, if you're looking for some inspiration, I just released an article and video. So if you want to get inspired with what you can do with 3D printing and gardening, there is.
The video is really nice.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The video is.
You did an awesome job.
Thanks. Thanks, guys.
How long has it been in making?
Over a year for sure, because I've shown.
I know a year ago we were talking about this because I started doing a lot of hydroponics stuff, and you were like, "Oh, I'm working on this article."
I mean, it's kind of overselling it saying I was working on it for a year. I was enjoying 3D printing and gardening for like 2 years now, and I just took pictures with my phone. And many of the videos, of the shots in the video are from, just an iPhone of me, capturing a 5-second video of the plant growing. But yeah, it's a really topic that you have to kind of work on for a long time. Otherwise, you won't get any plants growing. So that would be boring.
Plus, we will need to do some hydroponics in our, we now have a new company hideout, which we can't talk about, but we have plenty of space to do some growing projects there. And I would love to do hydroponics for Japanese strawberries because they're awesome.
Okay, yeah, we could do
that. Never had a Japanese strawberry, and I'm interested to see how they're different.
Oh my god!
You could have hydroponic Japanese strawberries that are laid inside 3D printed chocolate cups.
Yeah, but Japanese, like the great Japanese fruits, they are quite expensive, but they taste like candy.
Yeah. Well, someday when we can all travel, you need to come try a Maine blueberry here in Maine, which are
all
totally
right.
Different blueberries than blueberries you've had before.
All right. Looking forward.
Yeah. Okay. So why don't we get some questions? The last show, we had so much going on that we missed questions.
Yeah.
And we have about 7 minutes left for questions right now. So if you guys have questions, RC Maniac 25 says Maine blueberries are great. I totally agree.
I know some people were asking about satin sheets, and the next batch is coming next week for both the big size for the Mark III and the smaller size for the Mini. So, set a notification, watch out for that, but we will have next batch next week. Super Pindas, those will come like end of April at the soonest. Those are kind of tricky to make. So that's the current.
Yeah. Well, we also have very rigorous testing. So
yeah.
Let me say they are all the same. They are all the same.
Yeah. So if a batch comes that's not the same, we will not sell it. That's what it is. So what is the chat saying? Some extra small printer? Do you want even smaller printer? What? They're of course spamming about Excel, which I mean,
no, but I mean,
if all you guys want to know about CXL, we can just stop the
yes,
video.
Sorry, no news for I guess quite some time about that.
No, but I saw some questions about the Amazon and procurement. There is also quite repeating. And we cannot do anything about that some vendors are just selling persimmon with huge markups there. We don't sell it for $70, unfortunately. But the best solution is to buy on our eShop, and shipping for two spools to US is I would say three to four days tops, and it's $12. So it is cheaper than even what we were selling it on Amazon for, because we are not paying any margin to huge corporation.
Scorpion Kingdom asks, what is the status of Brucia Connect when it comes to Mark III? If you roll back just like 30 minutes, we kind of hinted a little bit when we talked about the Mark III firmware and the changes in preparation for Brucia Connect rolling out.
Yes.
Guys, in the Discord, they are filling me in that the head statue that won the first place for the Prusa printers, or the Prusa Live contest, is the centerpiece, and I knew I kind of recognized it. It's the centerpiece for the Tippy Tree game that Devin from Make Anything designed.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Someone was saying, Joe, that we should start selling like your hats or something, like Prusa hat.
Oh, so I have been
saying Prusa hats for almost 2 years now. So totally in agreement.
I'm thinking about, I like this one, and it's actually starting to fall apart. So I'm thinking that I will contact a few companies and let them try to make an exact copy.
Cool.
So we could maybe sell them, but that...
And then we can get a little orange P embroidered on the back of them for Prusa.
I also can't remember who it was, but at the very beginning of the stream, someone was asking about painting MMU in the slicer. And...
Oh, yeah. We have prototypes.
So that's...
And it's looking better than canvas, what I've heard.
Mm. Cool.
I haven't played with the build, but I'm right now testing the M1 build, and that is looking pretty good. And there is also a lot of support changes. You know, the annoying stuff with the when the matrix in which support is generated is too too low res, and sometimes it spawns the support so where it shouldn't. So that is what's being worked on now. But there's also a lot coming into the slicer.
Winslow Joy, Mini, I need to disconnect from Octoprint to change sheet profile or something. I'm pretty sure, as we talked about Mark III and the ability to control the printer from both the LCD and some print host, pretty sure this will be rolling to Mini at some point as well. What do we have?
Let's see. Someone on Discord is asking for genuine used Joseph Prusa hats. I'm a little worried about that one.
Also, those are super rare. Joe just finds a favorite and he keeps wearing it, right?
You know, I only get rid of them by losing them.
Yeah.
And when I buy a new one, I don't know if it will be like the nice and if it will form to shape of my hat. So I don't buy many of them. So when I lose it, it takes me a long time to find a suitable replacement.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm thinking about cloning them, you know, letting them take it for some time and unravel it and make copies.
Tree supports, a lot of people are asking about. It's definitely on our wish list for Brucia Slicer as well. So we would love to. There are so many commits in Prusa Slicer since the last 2.3 release. I think I'm running like 2.3 plus 800 commits or something, and I'm probably like 200 behind or something like that. So really, the development keeps chugging at an incredible rate. We just haven't released anything yet, but...
Yeah, it always takes a long... it is counterproductive to do a lot of smaller releases. Obviously, it's not a good way to do once a year, but you know, the preparations and all the testing takes a lot of time, so it's better to do it in sizable chunks.
MMU2, some questions. There might be a new firmware in the works for MMU, but no ETA, yes. no ETA on that, no date currently.
There will be. I think there's nothing against saying it. There will be a rewrite and better communication between. Between the two things, so you wouldn't have, and also you wouldn't have to control everything from with the buttons and also from the main printer interface.
Right. Yes. So if it needs attention, awesome. It will send to INC that what's wrong, and it will it will display it on the LCD.
Nate G says thank you to all of us for everything that we do, and I want to say to Nate G, thank you for tuning in and for everything that you do. So we appreciate it. Yeah. And we appreciate all of you guys.
Exactly.
Tuning in.
Yeah.
And that is our show for this week. thank you all for being here. We really appreciate it. Keep tuning in. If you guys have any suggestions for people you want to see on the show or things that you want to see on the show, obviously things that directly relate to Prusa, you know, shoot me a DM over Twitter or, you know, hit me up on Discord. I would love to know what you guys want to see coming forward on the show. And thank you for being here. So from everyone at Prusa, we appreciate you guys. Stay safe. Keep printing. And we will see you in 2 weeks.
See you. Bye.